This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
In this episode of Witching Hour, we're excited to partner with Yuha, trusted and loved for premium breast pumps since 2010. Their portable and wearable designs provide comfort and convenience. They empower you to pump effortlessly anywhere, keeping you connected to what matters most. Discover the complete collection of Yuha Australia's premium breast pumps and handy accessories at yuha.com.au. And even better, you can use the code READY15, that's READY15, during the month of July for 15% off the Embody Pump. Hello and welcome to Witching Hour, the show that looks at what's exciting, delighting, intriguing and frustrating us when it comes to making work work. I'm Lou, and making work work is frustrating me at the moment. How are you, Loz? Who are you? Tell us all about you.
I'm good. I'm Loz. I'll bring you a good news story to lighten the mood. A world first, grandparents in Sweden can now receive paid parental leave to care for their grandchildren for up to 3 months of a child's first year. Under the new law, parents will be allowed to transfer some of their paid parental leave to another carer, including their child's grandparents. According to the Social Insurance Agency, a couple may transfer a maximum of 45 days to other carers, while single parents can transfer 90 days. The new law also doubled the number of days that both parents can take simultaneously from 30 days per year to 60 days. Whoa, we got a long way to go. But how good is that?
Further than Sweden from Australia is how far we have to go. It just reminds me of how Phoebe Simmons said Sweden, Sweden, Sweden. And now in my head, all I hear is Sweden, Sweden, Sweden.
I know. They're so progressive. It's so good.
Take us there. Millennial mums don't have it all. They just do it all. Wow, we are feeling that. Actually, we realized I'm not quite a millennial, but we'll get to that. And Serena Williams and Rihanna, take us behind the scenes of what happens to the body in the postpartum. Lozzie, the hair loss, the fitting into clothes, they've been my two biggest pain points alongside just feeling injured at the moment. So these women may as well be inside my brain. I have a few questions for you, and I also had a few questions to the pollers. So that has totally inspired our poll this week too. Take it away, my friend.
Millennial moms work more than previous generations of mothers, and we spend more time parenting our kids. Plus, our parents can't or don't want to help us out or need to care for themselves. When I read things like this,
just saying that.
Yeah, but when I read things like this, I do feel understood, because it does seem like, you know, we're like, oh, how did our parents do it? Yeah. How did they cope? I'm like, how are we coping? There's a shitload more going on.
That's actually a really interesting point. In a way, things have become more progressive, but I feel like it just means that there's responsibility mounting, not like retracting.
This is exactly what it says. So we're at capacity all the time. I, as a millennial, certainly am. Lou, you're actually not a millennial, which blew my mind. I keep thinking we're the same age, but you've actually...
We're not far off.
I have 5 extra years of living on you, or is it
you
more?
You do. That's why you're 5. So much wiser.
And I'm so wise.
Ask you questions, and that's why you give the best advice.
So even with the trappings of professional flexibility, millennials ain't coping. We've transitioned the where we can work, and we have the flexibility. So now if your kid is sick, or you have a teacher's conference, or you need to take a parent to a doctor's appointment, you have the flexibility to do that. Great. But what we haven't done is reach the place where professional and personal ambition can coexist.
Oh,
we've spoken about this so many times.
But just the way that's framed, like, has just hit the nail on the head. I've never heard that exact sentence. It's beautiful. It's poetry.
It is. Aside from major structural changes, we know that are needed to support families, there is one big thing that needs to change in the workplace: management practices. So FaceTime is still the reigning tool for performance measurement, and that disadvantages anyone working remotely. We had a whole episode about this, and I still agree with it. If you're in the office and that other person, being your manager, leader, teammate, colleague, whoever, is also in the office, you are still going to have a better sense that that person is working than the person that is not in the office, which
is
sad.
It's so true. It's sad. I know. It's so true. Even, you know, if you're in person for a meeting like I was recently and there was someone online, the person was sick and I didn't think anything less of them, but it was like the people in the room were working more. Definitely.
Yeah. So this lady goes on to say, I've said for a long time, to really make this work, you have to have much more objective and precise management practices, and that takes more work. I don't think we're there yet. In my view, when it comes to frazzled millennial moms, a wholesale shift in the way we understand and reward professional ambition is due. Forget this idea that moving up, down, back, or sideways in your career is a sign that you're not committed. Instead, and I love this line so much, we must think of ambition as a tide, sometimes rolling in, sometimes rolling out, always doing its part. Under this rubric, millennial moms aren't losing their ambition. They're simply moving with the tide, and there's no reason to feel ashamed about that. We shouldn't be sent back to square one in our careers simply because the tide of our ambition went out while our children needed us most. What a powerful paragraph.
I feel like every time you bring something to me, I say that the timing couldn't be better. And maybe it's just because you know you're feeling so well. Or maybe it's just because this is how so many mums that are entering paid work are feeling. I felt this so much this morning. I'm currently producing a podcast for this incredible group of women. It will have been released by the time this is out, so I can talk about it. It's called The Outer Sanctum, and it's a pretty big sports female media related podcast, sort of the intersection of feminism, pop culture, and sport. And even today, I'm making apologies for the fact that Ray is at home with me. They're all mums and they get it. Yet still, I feel like, well, then why would they even want me to make apologies and have me work on this and potentially be slower? Not that I have been slow at all. Why would they rather me be there working on this with the distraction of children and all of that when they could have some child-free man or woman that's not going to be distracted by all of these things? And it's giving me the worst anxiety.
Yeah, but look at how ambitious you are. I think that's the whole premise of this article, right? And I know that we've said it before. I've felt more ambitious. I think I said this. I felt really super ambitious straight after I had kids.
Yeah.
Like, I need to be doing things. What can I do? I just felt like I had all this energy. And then I would say at like that 18-month mark, I was a bit like, fucking hell. It's long.
Ambition is way. Like, the tide is out.
The tide is high
and I'm holding on for dear life.
Like, I would have loved to have won Tats Lotto and been like, fuck, I would bake the bread or knead the dough or do that shit that I actually don't like because I can't be bothered to go to work. And now I feel like the tables are turning again where my ambition is going up again. And I'm like, what do the next 5 years look like? What do I want to do? It's such a different.
Yes.
It's just not something that's lineal. It happens
it's
in
so
ways.
It's so characterized by what's happening in your life. I've never thought about it. I mean, we know this, but the way you're talking about it would have so much to do with the hormonal phases of postpartum and your kids' needs at the time. Like, it all plays into this.
Exactly. And another stat that I thought about just before is, if you feel like you're alone in thinking like this, don't, because at the moment, stats show that 75% of workplace employees are millennials.
Wow.
Big number.
That's huge.
It's huge. The other stats that I found that was super, super interesting around this is millennials' job turnover in the US is costing the economy, so the US economy, $30.5 billion per year. This insane amount of money comes from hiring, training, and other costs that come with needing to replace employees frequently. And the reason why I think this study is so relevant to this whole conversation is because it is like a tide. There is that moment where if you're not happy at work and it's not working for you, you leave or you find something else, particularly when you're in that motherhood period. Like, sometimes you're like, I'm so driven at my job. I love it. I love my team. Then something can change, whether it's like personally or professionally. And you're like, my drive ain't
worth
there.
It just ain't there. It has gone with any bit of nourishment my skin once had. Everything is dry. It's all feeling
exactly. Exactly right. And I wanted to bring it back to the original article that said we're doing it all, essentially. Another stat that backs that up. 73% of millennials work over 40 hours per week. So we know that the average hours per week are what, 38 hours. So they're putting in a little bit of overtime. But I also think for those people that are working part-time, if the average is 40 hours, they're doing a shitload. You're
and
still doing a lot.
That age is the age that if you are a parent, you're very likely to be a parent in that stage of your life, right? You might not be one at 30, but at 37, you're much more likely to be one. So for 73% of those workers to be working more than 40 hours a week, I'd love to know how many are parents, because a lot of them would be.
A lot. Exactly right. Premise of this article is you don't have to do it all. You don't have to have it all. Different things can slot into your life at different times, and it's okay to look at it like a wave. Like, this time is a quiet time in my life where I'm going to let shit slide. Or this time I'm ramping up and the house might be messy, but I'm really focused on career. It doesn't all need to be in the one sentence. I think it's exhausting, quite frankly.
It's absolutely exhausting. I meant to say this at the top, but today Ray is home sick. We're all sick, Posey, Ray, yeah, and I. And the first thing he did was kick Posey in the face while I was sending an email. Oh, and I thought, God, if you weren't sending an email, he wouldn't have kicked her in the face. Then I'm sending another email because I'm really busy in this project I'm working on. He pours a whole thing of panko breadcrumbs on the ground in the kitchen.
Far out. It's like pouring sand.
It's literally like sand. And then I get the vacuum out to get rid of it. And afterwards, I disassemble the parts of the vacuum. So the sort of arm, if you will, with the funnel has taken off. And he's putting his used Weet-Bix, half-eaten Weet-Bix, down.
Oh, God, I can't. I'd be and like, I was just thinking, out.
This feels really hard at the moment. So this is a nice reminder that work isn't, even if I continue to do the work, sometimes it's going to look sticky and other times it's not going to look like this.
Lou, you've been using the Yuha Embody hands-free breast pump on your feeding journey with Posey, and having worked together while you've been using it, I have to say I was in slight disbelief at how quiet it was. In your opinion, what is it about the Yuha Embody breast pump that makes it so good?
Okay, the first thing I have to talk about is I did wonder, because it's so wearable, so convenient, smaller than those pumps that plug into the wall, I thought, will it get me as much milk? I couldn't believe that it got me just as much, if not more, than those ones that you assume are more powerful because they plug into a wall. Not the case. The Embody got me so much milk. I was so impressed. So that's the first point. The second was, I work as a producer in my day job. So I was on set in a studio last Wednesday, and I had the pump going, kept it in the bra because it is so wearable. And I said to the team that were on set, the talent, I'll pause it now because you're about to start recording again. They said, we cannot even hear it. Keep it going. So I could keep pumping while producing this show. Third and final thing I noticed was how easy it was to disassemble compared to the one I used when I was pumping with Ray. It was so easy to pull apart. I was in this kitchen dominated by males, and I know we shouldn't mind, but I was still just a little bit embarrassed hiding what I was doing. It took me 5 seconds to disassemble, put that milk into the bag that I was taking it home in. It was so easy, and I so appreciate a quick and seamless process when you're feeling bad and you want to get back to your paid work.
If you're pregnant and considering pumping, in the market for a new breast pump, or looking for a pump that's discreet, effective, and lightweight, head to yuha.com.au to check out their full range.
And don't forget, for the month of July, use the code READY15 for 15% off the Embody pump.
All right, so here we are again. Jean skirt. Let's see where I am. It's been a very long journey.
Oh my gosh, girl. I was not on the pamphlet.
Yeah, no. No one tells you.
No. And I did not expect it to happen in waves either. I thought it would just happen and grow back.
Now, Lozzie, Serena Williams and Rihanna are making a lot of mothers feel seen, but I always feel at odds with this type of content. Part of me loves it and part of me feels a bit sad that we still bring so much focus to it. So Serena Williams has posted a few reels of her trying on this jean skirt, as they must call them in America, a denim skirt. And it's quite literally showing her trying to get it over her butt and trying to get it all up. And at the start, I thought, it's pretty cool and refreshing because we have someone very, very famous and very, very wealthy showing something that you don't often see. We don't often even see our friends trying on the clothes that used to fit. It's a very private thing. We might talk about it, but visually, I've never seen you try and put on a pair of jeans that you used to fit and seeing how you felt about that. So in the one part, I'm feeling like, good on you, because we all have our thing. Show us. Let's go on the journey with you. On the other hand, there's this Grand Slam champion who's just about broken every tennis record for women and men, by the way.
Yep.
Incredible success on and off the tennis court, an absolute champion for women in sport, showing us that she can't fit into a skirt.
Yeah, but how refreshing is that? I love it. I love it because I'm like, she's doing what most people, I mean, she's relatable to the everyday Joe by doing that, because what person isn't doing that? Like, that's exactly how you feel.
We can forgive ourselves for doing the same thing. So I agree with you there, but I literally just bounce between all of these different thoughts when it comes to how I feel about that. I certainly am not anti it, because I like that she's exposing something that so many go through. The second clip that caught my attention on the social medias was Rihanna talking about her postpartum hair loss and talking about the fact that it was not on the pamphlet for motherhood, which really got me thinking about all of the things that are not on the pamphlet for motherhood. Yep. I do want to say before we get into it, in a world that has literally raised us to find our currency within how we look, I don't think there's anything wrong with the fact that we do fixate on it. I don't think it's our fault. Do I think we need to fixate on it less? Absolutely. But I'm not trying to tear these women down for talking about it, because it is such a common experience and it is so deeply embedded in us from the way we've been brought up with media to question and interrogate these things. But I do want to question and interrogate them a little bit further with you by asking you, what is your version of Serena Williams' jean skirt? And tell us a little bit about that journey with whatever clothing item or symbol.
Easy.
Your body progress.
Okay, so I'm going to preface this by saying I have always been quite petite, always. Like, when I say petite, I would say my top half has always been really small. I've always had a tiny waist and like pretty small top half. Bottom half, like not so much, but let's just focus on the top for the time being. What I didn't realize after having children, and this is bizarre, and I'm curious to know if other people have this too, is around the back of my bra changed.
I know it.
But this is the most depressing part. But my boobs actually got smaller, but it's as if my back expanded.
That's right. So you're not even just talking about the sort of loose skin that can come around the rib cage, are you?
No.
Like your actual frame, you think?
I'm talking about the frame of
this.
Of my back. So let's just say I used to be a size 8 to 10 D.
Hilarious. You were not a D.
I just threw that in there.
All the way to the bar shop with you, because you know.
Which I've never been. Which I've never been. Now I'm a 12 A.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? So not only.
I'm probably a minus A after this breastfeeding journey, I reckon. So,
yeah, exactly. So do you know what I mean? So I've gone from a bigger cup size to a smaller cup size, but my actual width of my back has increased. And the thing that I find the most frustrating about this is, I mean, personal trainers, if you're listening and you have the answer, please come at me and tell me. I don't think I can change my bone structure around.
I don't think
my
you can, and I don't think you should try. This sounds very Kimmy K.
No, but I genuinely don't think that even if I worked out at the gym, I was amazing at eating, I don't think that part of my body would
reduce.
No, that's
changed forever. It's like how your hips widen. My hips have definitely widened. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, but it's frustrating because I had all these nice bras that once upon a time, I mean, they're probably from like 2019 when I first met Ryan, but I did have
nine or 19.
Oh, whoops. Nine. Well,
you did not meet 5 years ago.
They actually are probably from 2009 that I've never worn for a special occasion, but they've gone to the wind because I can't even get the back up.
And that's actually the reason why our sex lives all struggle. Actually, it's that our bras no longer fit. Do you get the flabby skin around your rib cage too? Because that's something I didn't know to expect. Like, my skin obviously has expanded, and so it's a little bit flabby around my rib cage.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Actually, on this, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I have to say it. I remember years ago when I was very young, let's just say I was 15, I always used to think to myself, when people wear a sports bra at the back, why do they have that overhang? Like, surely that part of your back can't really get bigger. Now that I'm older, And I wear a sports bra that fits and I still get it.
You were such a judgy little 15-year-old.
Yeah, but I did. I used to think that. It must be aging. Like, it must you be lose aging. Elasticity of your skin. I don't know. Anyway, that's what surprised me. That's my version of the denim skirt. What's yours?
I reckon mine is this pair of pants that I bought almost as a push present after Posey. So these are new pants. And you'd think that she'd know this second time on the rodeo. It ain't the first time. But she didn't. I bought these pants about 2 weeks postpartum. I think my first maternity leave pay came through and I thought, I deserve a little gift. It's nearly my birthday. I'm going to get myself some cool pants. And I thought, I'm not pregnant. Let's live. Tried the pants on when they arrived. Totally forgot that it was going to take me a good year, if ever, that I will fit in them. They're these gorgeous blacks and Agni pants. I pictured myself rolling into paid work looking like this gorgeous, well put together, non-pregnant person. They do not even remotely do
it. Did you return them or did you keep them?
I kept them because I'm a dickhead and now I don't know what to do with them. Does she keep them? Does she not? Maybe I should put up a poll saying that. They're so beautiful. I want to wear them one day. Maybe I will try them on today and see if I can semi do the zip up, do I keep them or not?
I think if you're semi, if you're halfway there, then the answer is yes.
Keep them.
It's more like if you can't get them over your knees. If you can't get them over your knees, you're like, nah.
There's a pair of jeans for that too. I sold those ones on Depop straight away. Had to hold them up in front of me for the photo because I was like, these don't do up. They're not going to be a very good example. So that's mine, Lozzie. My second question for you is, Rihanna talks about that postpartum hair loss was not on the pamphlet for her. What wasn't on the pamphlet for you?
So many things.
And it can be physical or emotional. It can be anything, whatever you like.
Okay, a couple night sweats. Oh, that was out of control. I am not talking
hair,
about
like, stuck
a little...
to...
I woke up one morning and I thought I had been swimming underwater. My hair was so wet. I remember having to sleep on a towel. Because the amount that I would perspire was outrageous. So that's one thing I didn't realize. And that lasted for quite some time. What else can I think of? The hair loss. I mean, I already don't have any hair. So I thought, shivers, I'm going to be bald by the end of this. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I was holding high hopes that it might get thicker. Do you know what else took a long time for me to go down? And it could have just been me. I do hold water. My feet took ages.
Oh, swelling.
Yeah. And they've still never gone back to the size that they were.
That is so weird. That happens though. You are not alone there. People actually wrote in the polls saying shoe size. That is the most ridiculous thing. How does that happen? But it's common.
One other thing that really struck me as unusual, my skincare since having children has completely changed.
Oh yeah. Is your skin drier now? Is that right?
So dry. Yeah. Bone. In winter, this winter, I could not get enough moisturizer to actually plump it back up. Yeah. It's so bad. And now get rosacea or that dermatitis. I never used to get it. I blame that purely on my children. Actually.
What is it? Perioral. What is it?
Perioral dermatitis.
Yeah.
Please, if you're a company that knows how to get rid of it, please DM us, write into us, because I, for the life of me, I mean, I'm a freak when it comes to products.
Yeah.
I could almost do a little, here's my bathroom kit and caboodle, because I have so much unnecessary stuff. I love a fad.
Yeah, you do.
I am probably on to 5 or 6 products now to try fix it without having to go into antibiotics for 3 months. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Have you tried that Osmosis brand that's insanely expensive, but apparently like the absolute holy grail for this?
No.
Okay, so this is highly recommended.
Immediately,
it's so expensive, like obscenely expensive, but apparently it lasts you about 12 months and it completely fixed it for my friend. My mum has had really bad issues with urticaria, I think it's called, and she used it once too. And again, super expensive, but long lasting and totally fixed her skin. People
I'm already Googling on the side. Yeah. Can you see
Even
me?
People
I'm
that all, I know that don't spend car. Money on these things have bought it. That's how good it is. Like people that would gawk at $250 for skincare. I've never used it, but it comes recommended. So there's a little tip. Who would have thought, Lozzie, that it'd be me giving you?
I'm genuinely already on it. I'm adding it to cart as I speak. Girl.
Yeah, it's expensive.
It's on the pricier side. Might have to afterpay that one. What about yourself? What was it on the pamphlet for you?
What wasn't on the pamphlet is the hip pain. My hips are sore all the bloody time. I'm doing exercises. Yep. I'm going to class. The pain is wild. Do you know what else I really believe? That when you have ejected that baby of yours, you all of a sudden feel like you've aged for the first time in your life properly. All of a sudden, I was like, I am in the process of aging. My hips sore, my back sore, everything hurts. I think the pains have been the worst for me. And this second time around, what wasn't on the pamphlet was how much more, I hate to use a negative word to describe myself, but how much more flabby my tummy is, how it's not going away as quickly or as much. I don't think it will ever go away as much as it did after Ray. And I think the hair loss might have doubled. As you know, I'm quite lucky to have a
full head of hair. You have so much luscious hair.
I can't complain about it, but it does make me empathize with, if you didn't have much, why that would be so stressful, because the stuff is coming out at a rate I have never seen. Why can it fall from my armpits? I don't want hair under there, actually, because it gets all smelly and sweaty. I'd rather it come from there.
Well, on that topic of hair, just quickly, another surprise, while I was pregnant, all of my laser ladies know this, it grows back during pregnancy.
Really?
Are you kidding?
I don't do laser.
Girl, everything's
come back.
At
you? Why do we not shed hair then? We grow it there like we do on our head when we're pregnant, but why doesn't it shed from those areas? Like
I don't know.
Our heads in postpartum?
I don't know.
So that takes us to the poll. I guess complaints. There are a few of our, if there was a feedback box for the pregnancy and postpartum system, that's what we'd put in. Let's hear from our pollers. Lozzie's looking out to the side to osmosis, and I'm just going to try and get her to hold her attention to me for 5 more minutes. So the first question for the pollers was all about Serena. I said, first up, Serena Williams, how does the way she shared her journey to fit into her denim skirt sit with you? I also said to them, I know that you probably all want to answer all of the above, but that's not fun for Loz to guess. So we're not
that
option.
It's
so
not.
You're going to answer your version first, which I feel like we've already heard, and then you'll guess.
I love it.
So I love her honesty. We all have our thing. Bit sad that there's so much focus on this. Little bit toxic, even if not her intention.
Oh, no. Nah. I reckon A. I'm
A
all
wins,
about it.
But not by a hell of a lot, by a bit though. So 49% of people said that they love her honesty. 28% said it's a bit sad that there's so much focus on this, which I think we can agree with, even if we are in the camp A. And then the last one, a little bit toxic, even if not her intention, was 23%.
Do you know what I'm going to say about this though? Look, would it be great if none of us had those thoughts? Sure. But the realities are
we do.
And these celebrities have access to all of these amazing treatments and lipo and tummy tucks and the whole bloody lot. And what I love the most about her is she's saying, can't fit into this freaking skirt. Like it feels relatable. We've all had that thought of, fuck, why don't these fit?
I agree. It's like how you and I were talking about a survey that we saw about the way people spend their money on clothes, and that people would answer with a different lens to how they actually do. So for me, for example, I wish that I'd never had to buy an item of fast fashion. If I could afford to buy the $500 clothing item every purchase, because that's from a company that's doing things right, absolutely, I would jump on it. I would do that. The reality is that I can't always afford those things, so I have to find a balance.
Exactly.
This reminds me of that. It's like we're all in pursuit of not having these thoughts, but we do. So maybe her being honest about it is actually a breath of fresh air. Next question was, if you have your own version of the denim skirt, what is it?
Oh, I can't wait for this.
A lot of people said variation of pants or jeans, which is unsurprising because our hips do not lie after pregnancy, Lozzie. They do not. One person said a pair of Caves Collect pants. I was determined they would fit when I went back to work. And they did fit when I went back to work, but 2 months later, they didn't anymore. Work plus mum life equals sad face. Totally get it, sister.
On that, don't you find it strange? I don't know if you had the same thing, Lou. I actually was the smallest I've ever been in those like 5 months postpartum, like up to that period. And
absolutely
then the opposite
not.
Happened to me. You're joking.
Yeah, no.
And then after 5 months, then it's like, I bought these jeans. I bought these jeans after I had Sienna, and it almost makes me laugh that I could fit into them. And then I remember after I had Zave, like before I got pregnant with Zave, I was like, oh gosh, I've just packed in a couple of kilos, no big deal. Then after I had Zave, I was like, oh, I'll try those pants on again. That I had to give them to the salvos. Like they will never fit me again, ever.
So that's opposite to me. I'm at my heaviest, I'd say, now. And I remember with Ray, it was about the 8-month mark that all of a sudden I thought to myself, oh, looking a little bit better, Dalsy. Hate really? To assign so my weight with
looking
better.
We had the opposite.
I'm big for my body shape for the first 6 months, but I eat so much in the postpartum. So that definitely adds to it. Loz, I've actually gone through these answers last minute because both my kids are home with me sick today.
Yeah.
And literally every answer is jeans. So I don't even have anything different to share with you. There's about 30 answers here. They are all
guys. What about bathers? What about bathers?
We're not even going there. But bathers fit, I guess, whether we feel great in them or not, they can often fit, I guess, because they might have ties. They might be a stretchy fabric. Even if we don't feel as good in them, they still might fit. So physically, what's been the most surprising part of your postpartum body? It can be literally anything from the physical recovery to the superficial, whatever anyone wanted to put in here. Someone said facial hair, which I have not had that experience. Have you had that?
Well,
I've heard other people talk about it.
I haven't, but I can understand why, because I genuinely, my entire body, all the hair that I'd had removed grew back when I was pregnant. So if facial hair is on your radar, doesn't surprise me at all.
The scar, it's a daily reminder of a traumatic birth that still hurts mentally and physically. Aww. So many people will be able to relate with that one. I was surprised that I slimmed down so quickly, but that it's all so squishy and I feel like I can't get rid of it. Cannot get toned no matter what or no matter how much my toddler makes me carry him. I don't care though. I'm proud of this body. Absolutely love that energy. People talked about hair loss, hips widening. The mum bum. That's another big one for me, by the way.
Oh, the pancake bum.
I used to have a booty. So did you. Is yours flat now too?
Yeah, mine's just now long and flat, which is sick. Disgusting. I used to have a high big bum. And now it's just a long, big bum.
Yeah, I was actually, I didn't realize until afterwards that I was quite proud of my booty and it's gone. Someone said vulval dryness, which is a big one, especially when breastfeeding.
Yes.
I definitely have that. Generally aging from sleep deprivation. Know all about that. Sometimes I look in the mirror and then an old memory will pop up and I just cannot believe
the first shit, I was fresh. I was so fresh.
That girl looks like she has no troubles in her life. And then a lot of people mentioned skin changes, how soft their body felt and how foreign their body felt, which is just goes to show we are not alone in this. Everyone feels a little bit different in their postpartum body.
Wouldn't you say, Lou, the older you get, the less you care?
I think I care differently at different postpartum times. I think I'm in that weird in-between time where I'm starting to almost return to normal life in inverted commas.
Yeah.
But my body would say otherwise. And I think I'm in that sort of like gray area.
Change period.
I don't know what to call it. So I agree with you on a normal day. And I'm certainly not someone that looks in the mirror too much or worries too much about this stuff. But I think I'm probably in a phase where I feel a bit gross and wish I was fitting into my clothes, if I'm honest.
Yeah, fair enough. I almost think I'm the opposite. I think if we decide to go to Europe next year, I mean, if we can try ditch the kids for a week or 10 days, there's just not a chance I'm taking two children. I almost think I'd wear a G-string bikini and just get the buns fully out. Like I'm at that stage where I don't care.
That's brilliant. And that's exactly what it should be too. And we will get to that actually, that how you talk to yourself when you're feeling that way. The next question, hardest thing to accept on your physical postpartum journey? Again, superficial or more recovery-based? These were the most common answers. Having absolutely no strength was a big one. And I felt that too, just really feeling weak in yourself, feeling injured and not really recognizing your inability to do what you used to be able to do. A lot of people, again, mentioned their stomachs and how hard they find it to look at their stomachs and how gross they feel. Pigmentation was mentioned. So that person might
shocking.
Have some tips for skin care related, like we were talking about earlier. C-section recovery with a toddler has been wild. I needed to get out, so pushed myself and I've paid for it. That is a brilliant reminder that even if you're feeling frustration in your body, please be careful because we do need to go easy. Still look about 5 months pregnant, 4 years on. How fun, that person says. And then lastly, we'll talk about more injury related. We have busted back and insane neck pain, pelvic symptoms, and having a prolapse. Cheers, baby number two, et cetera, that person says. Baby number two, they really like to really come in there and fuck things up, don't they?
Well, yes. And I feel like a second child is one of those things in life where they teach you a little lesson.
Yeah.
Because postpartum round one, I'm going to say it, I felt pretty good. I felt like my body had not significantly changed. I felt like my tummy went back, and my tummy has always been pretty small. Felt like I lost a lot of weight, was actually smaller than I've ever been. And then round two, whoa.
Yeah.
No.
No, I'm exactly the same. Nah. Although it took me a while to feel good again after it, but I do feel the same. Another person actually said, and I love this, because as much as breastfeeding and postpartum for some people can be like, wow, my weight just fell off. Someone else said it's an absolute myth that breastfeeding just makes you drop the weight.
Yeah.
And so I just want to call that one out too, because I nearly missed that. And I agreed with that for a long time. Eventually I sort of felt a bit better in my body, but for a long time I was like, what are people talking about? I'm eating a lot. And I thought that I could and that I'd be the same weight. I am not.
Yeah.
Next question. How do you try to combat any negative thoughts around your body? Lozzie's is just put a G-string on and head to Europe without your kids. And I think that's a pretty fucking good way of looking at it.
Yeah. Or do you know what? I think in life, this is a bit philosophical, but it is so important for you to do things that put your health and your body and everything that you've got in perspective, whether that's volunteering your time through work or through different activities and gaining some perspective, whether that's reading a book on somebody else's hardships. That sounds grim, but
I agree so much.
Be about like at the end of the day, you need it.
Yeah, 100%. And in one camp, I want to say, if you're feeling a bit shit in yourself, your feelings are valid. But in another camp, let's not fucking focus on this too much, because there are way bigger fish to fry. That's actually what I contributed to this poll, and I thought it was quite funny. I liked it. I said, get the fuck over it, bigger fish to fry. That's me talking to myself after acknowledging that I'm allowed these feelings. Sorry if anyone finds that a bit aggressive. Someone else said therapy, therapy, therapy. And I think that's a great option. If it's really bothering you, speak to someone about it, because it's obviously not good for your health. Someone else said to watch Taryn Broomfitt's Embrace film immediately, which I'm adding to the list. That sounds interesting. Another tip here was exercise to feel strong equals feeling good, as opposed to exercising for weight loss. A lot of people said to remind yourself of what you've done, which we've spoken about before. You've grown and birthed that little child in front of you. Remind yourself of that. And another beautiful bit of advice here is work with the parts that you do like and dress accordingly. I think that's
great. I was about to say that.
Yeah, don't try fit into old things. Yeah. Go to the new you.
Yeah, absolutely. Agree.
I then asked what people's experience has been with postpartum hair loss. You can guess this one. So option A was terrible. I feel like I have no hair left. Option B was so nothing major. Option C was fine. What was the most common there?
Terrible. Everyone's balding. Everyone's losing hair here, there, and everywhere on their heads. It's about the only place.
I hate to say it, but so nothing major was the most at 57%.
You're kidding. Who are these people?
Yeah, I know. 31% was terrible. So still, that's a third. That's a decent portion. And only 12% of people said that their hair loss journey has been fine.
What?
Yeah.
Are you? These must be people with mounds of hair. I've never
they
heard
must
that.
Be. They must be. I'm sorry to say it. As Rihanna puts, what wasn't on the pamphlet in your experience with postpartum recovery? A really interesting one that someone put here was mentally, I've recently experienced a lot of postpartum rage. I know this person is second time around, and I've experienced it way worse second time around. What about you?
Yeah, but that's obvious. Of course. Yeah. I think, why wouldn't you? Compounded. Even you saying that enrages me. No, I'm kidding.
She's joking. So angry. It's because you've had two children.
Yeah, but it's because you've got less time. Your expectations in reality are also higher. I do think, and I'll explain why I think this, when you have one kid, your expectations of your partner are just average. And they really, normally your partner will be a bit more doting because it's your first little bundle of joy. But then for the second one, you and your partner are like, oh, I've done this. Like, welcome to the tribe, sweetie. You're in. Mm. But there's no additional support and you just get frustrated all the time.
I've got to say, Hayden fucking does a bit, but I feel like your load doesn't double. It triples with two kids. And that's what surprised me. Like, it is not just one more kid. It feels like five more kids, in my opinion. Someone else said hemorrhoids. What? You haven't experienced hemorrhoids?
No.
Oh, I have.
That's probably the one thing I didn't.
Yeah, they're not fun. If you put effort into going to do a number two and you get some hemorrhoids back, that feels great, I must say.
Oh, God. Someone said awful.
Someone said the big feet. So there you go, Lozzie. Quite it's a few me. People have said the big feet. That my stretch marks would be sore and still so obvious. I did not know that they'd be sore. That would be frustrating as hell. Mum bum, that I would feel like I had prolapse for a long time, that I would still look pregnant. The weight, a million people said things to do with the weight.
Yeah.
Depression and anxiety at 6 months postpartum instead of straight away. That's a really interesting one that would catch you off guard, I can imagine.
Yeah,
you think you're coasting through and then all of a sudden. And then lastly, the vivid nightmares for months of my child suffocating far out. That is
that stresses
so
me out.
Scary. I it would really feel for that person. I've had definitely really bad bouts of intrusive thoughts, not to the level of nightmares, but that scares me just reading it. So I can totally sympathize. And then quite a few people here are talking about gum inflammation and gum bleeding. Have you ever had that?
No, but I mean, my daddy is a dentist, so they do say that obviously you have more blood when you become pregnant. So when you floss your teeth and stuff, you get more bleeding. Normal,
when you're
natural.
Flossing with your kids in the living room and then in the bathroom with your teeth. And someone said everything, question mark. No one talks about any of it. So luckily we're doing the Lord's work.
Well, we do.
Lastly, do you find celebrities talking about these things helpful, even if you do find it a bit superficial at the same time? Yes, I'm on the fence. No.
Yes.
62% said yes, 33% said I'm on the fence, and 5% said no. So you're bang on there, Lozzie. That is it for today. Sign us off, my friend.
If you have loved listening to today's episode, please, please, please leave us a review. Every review really helps. Any constructive criticism, we are always open to. And make sure you are following us on radio.pod. See you next week.
Just on that, yes, to feedback. Yes. Tell us of the segments you've loved the most. I want to know. DM us or email us hello@radionot.au.